Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the fall season edition of the Outdoor Podcast, proudly created by bowhunterplanet.com. This show is really cool because it does focus on outdoor activities and other things people like to do in the outdoors, including hunting, camping, fishing, and all the above. So make sure you guys tune in for this great season coming up in our fall 2024 podcast. The show today is brought to you in part by Easton Archery, Gas Bowstrings, Trophy Ridge, Moultrie Mobile, Vapor Trail, Burris Optics, The Bow Hitch, and caffeine provided by Deer Camp Coffee. Now, on to the show. Hey guys, welcome to the Outdoor Podcast Fall Edition. And today we're welcoming Gary back from Easton. So very excited about this conversation, Gary, because as you know, people are going out to buy their arrows right now, getting ready for fall. And, you know, being in the industry and being a hunter yourself, you know that feeling of like kind of little excitement that you get, you know, like going to the store and start to get your stuff together. And so I guess, how are you feeling right now? I mean, fall is here and we're about to get real crazy here coming up.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And what's amazing to me, and I don't know, maybe it's because the older I get, but, you know, we're going along, we're doing our thing. And it's like, how does hunting season come back to us so quickly? It just, you know, it's like we're going along and then, you know, at least it feels that way to me. It's like all of a sudden it's on us. You know, we got seasons opening up in the West already. And then whitetail's right around the corner. So everybody's getting into their shops and they're getting geared up. But it's exciting for me for, you know, to see it all culminate, everything that we're doing on our equipment side to actually now have all of our, you know, great Easton customers out there having the opportunity to now put it to work. And it's great to see all the success photos and anticipate all that success, you know, that we'll see on social, that we'll have sent into us. It's just an exciting time every year as everybody starts to take to the field again.
So let's talk about for a second, the, I don't want to say negative side of the industry, but, you know, being in the industry, you now have to figure out your 2025 launches, things like that. So when does that start for you? Is it already started? I mean, is that going to mess up your, does that mess up your hunting season or no?
Not really. I run on a yearly cycle here in marketing. And, you know, we're just now coming kind of off the tournament season, which, you know, starts early in the year. We also have a product cycle, right? Product introductions. And so generally what happens is late in the year, we introduce the products for the following year. So any new products that we have, we'll be introducing here around Thanksgiving. We'll start showing dealers even before that, what we've got in the hopper for our 2025 product year. But mostly that process, to answer your question, starts really in the kind of the winter spring timeframe where we kind of decide, okay, what are we going to do? So this last spring, we were deciding, what are we going to have for 2025? Then we kind of go through the proving grounds of making sure we can engineer it, what size, what components, everything else that goes along with, you know, a new arrow, and then making sure it all works together. And then by July, we pretty much know what we're going to do for the following year. Just a matter of dotting some I's and crossing some T's so that we can roll it out to our reps and our dealers in late October.
Yeah, because that's there's always that little weird mix, right, between business and pleasure when it comes to hunting. And for us, you, me, people in the industry always run into that little bit of a wall because, like, all the bow launches happen during the fall. So a lot of times we're at hunt camp doing bow reviews, you know, like it's pretty funny. Like we'll be at a hunt camp having like 10 bows laid out to like work on separate videos. It's pretty funny, actually. Right. One of my favorite things I've been doing this year,
that I just started recently. We usually we do it in the winter, but we decided we're going to do it fall through February this year. Just try to do like a fall into winter. But basically the classic series, one of the shows that we work with you guys on as well. And that show is just so exciting to pick up an old bow and like to try to find out as much as I can about it. And then show people the bow. And people love that show. They just love it. They love that feeling of, man, that was what it was like in 2005 or 1995 or 1985, you know. And we've been trying to go through segments, different segments where, like, for instance, I touched a lot in the 90s early on, the first season. This season, we're kind of like in the late 90s, moving more towards the 2000s. But I actually want to start when I go from 80 to 90, you know. But with each of these moves, it's a little tricky because I have to, you know, like for instance, like Gas Bowstring sponsored that show and it helps too as well because they'll renew it for us. Right. So we know we're a little bit safer than like the strings that are on it. Cause God knows what, you know, how old they are and rotted. And so that's nice. So we can make sure we get them as safe as possible to shoot them. I always wear goggles cause you just don't know what these things, but what was your first bow, Gary? That's what I was getting to with this comment.
Ooh, it was my first bow. I really didn't own a bow. I shot little, you know, recurves and stuff when I was a kid, but my first bow was actually a Hoyt Super Slam when I started here. And wow. It was a new compound back then, and that was the first bow I really owned. I'd been a pretty avid hunter growing up, and I had bow hunted with some of my friends, more of just kind of tagging along. But I really didn't get into archery until I got here. But that's been, you know, 30 years ago. So,
wow.
Yeah. And then, you know, from just kind of, you know, working alongside Hoyt and having that connection with them, I've been shooting their products, but, you know, I've seen some bow companies come and go, but like you said, it's kind of fun to take a look back and see, you know, how products have changed. Even along the Eastern line, you know, I know a lot about those products from before I started here, but there's been a lot of change in the time that I've been here as well.
Yeah. It's insane seeing it, firsthand. And, you know, especially some of those arrows you and I have talked about over in different episodes where people send in old bows and they have Easton X78s or, you know, it's kind of funny to see it, you know, they come in like the actual older version of it. And those big veins that were on there and then the cone head knock, you know, where it's got the cone, use that glue to get it on there.
Right.
Oh man.
Oh yeah. Like, we, for crazy. A long time we sat around and the glue on knocks you're talking about that, yeah. that glue on that knock switch. But I remember sitting in meetings and here and we're, you know, wringing our hands trying to decide if we could discontinue those because we felt like there were guys out there that were still shooting it, you know, and you couldn't index them, you know, you just had to glue them on there and line up your fletch and that's the way they were. And once they were set without replacing the knock. But, and then finally we pulled the trigger and, you know, those went away. But, you know, there's been so many different changes in that time. When I started here, aluminum products were, you know, carbon was just kind of coming on the scene at that point. We, in our line, we had some of the aluminum carbon, the ACCs, those were in the line. And then the all carbon products were just coming in at that time.
I remember the ACCs were so popular when those came out. And my brother had them. I'll never forget it because he was like, man, these are the top dog, you know. I can't remember what bow he bought them with, but it might have been like the Matthews Ultralight or something. I don't remember the year. Do you remember the year the ACCs came out?
Yeah, those came out in the first AC product was 83.
Oh, okay. So that was 90s.
But it was called the ACH back then. The ACC came out around 19, the ACC model, around maybe 89, 90, right in there.
Okay, yeah, so that makes sense.
But then we had it in the line up until, gosh, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. And then we've had different versions of that AC on the available for the hunting market throughout that time. Right now it's the X10 Parallel Pro that is doing, you know, it's got so much interest and there's a lot of guys using that. So it kind of fills that role that the ACC had. And I think it's a better product too.
So yeah, let's talk about that in a minute then. So the X10 Parallel Pro, is this both a hunting and target or just hunting or just target?
It's hunting and target.
Okay. It's both.
So yeah, we just completed the Olympics and, you know, the AC product is what shot there. In fact, every medal has been won using an AC product since I think 88. And so we're really fortunate. We developed these products for the highest level of archery, the Olympics, right? These guys that are just such amazing archers, we develop products that they can use to get out there and win these medals in the Olympics. What's cool about that is as we do that, we learn a lot along the way. And then we take what we learn for those guys and we bring those technologies and what we learn there into all of our products, including our hunting line. That's why you end up with a product like the Parallel Pro that you can go out and hunt with. It utilizes that X10 process. It's not exactly the same. It's not barreled, but it goes through the same machinery, the same processes that the X10s that are used in the Olympics go through. So basically a hunter is getting an Olympic quality arrow in that. And there is a lot of target shooters that use that Parallel Pro. The real difference is the components that go in there. But the shaft otherwise is identical. And in fact, we just brought out a fleshed version of that Parallel Pro for hunters that want to buy a fleshed with premium vanes and helical fletch. So they have, there's a couple different configurations. And we also sell it as bare shafts for guys that like to, you know, start from the ground up and build their own.
Yeah, that's so cool. So what would be the next step down then from the X10? Is that going to be the Full Metal Jacket match grade?
Yeah, so the Full Metal Jacket being developed specifically for the hunting market. That one is kind of when you're looking to pull out, you know, all the stops in terms of penetration. We have that available in the 4mm and the 5mm. I've had a lot of interest and questions lately come to me about 4mm arrows. And really, when you're looking to pull out all the stops in terms of true hunting performance, that is, you know, flying through the wind, carrying more energy downrange with very little friction, and then a lot of penetration in terms of very little friction going through the animal once it impacts the target, 4mm sits at the pinnacle. So the Parallel Pro, the FMJ and the Axis Long Range all fit into that 4mm category. The real difference there is the materials that are being used and then componentry. Mostly that has to do with weights. The FMJ is heavier, so it provides more kinetic energy, more momentum. On the Axis Long Range is kind of meant more for, you know, guys that want to maybe have more FOC, or they're looking to set up something with speed. And then a Parallel Pro is kind of blends it all. It's a good mix of weight and also speed. And so you're getting the precision, that, you know, that high level of accuracy that you find in an AC or an X10 type arrow.
Any short-sighted spy in the field can provide you with images. Only the Moultrie Edge 2 cell cams provide tactical reconnaissance. High-resolution photos and videos paired with detailed intel of where game is most active. Built for simplicity, just turn on your Edge 2 cell cam and it will auto-connect to one of the four major cellular networks, while our easy-to-use app arms you with game plan so you can determine where and when to hunt. Don't just capture images. Gather intelligence.
So Garrett, what's like the, so we talked about like obviously the high end arrow, but what would be like, so let's say the average bow hunter goes in, they like don't want to spend a lot of money. What would be an adult, and it's still an adult, like which arrow line would be for that person who wants to spend as little as possible?
I would put them into the 6.5 bow hunter. And in fact, if I left the company and I was out buying my own arrows, I'd probably shoot a 6.5 bow hunter. It's an excellent value. Any of those, any of the 6.5 line, it's run right here in the wall behind me here, and in this factory where I'm sitting right now, it is a great value for the money. It's American made. It's, like I said, made right here in this factory. And it gives a durable product because it's our all carbon process. It's a good blend of speed and weight for somebody that just wants an arrow that's easy to tune, easy to set up, very durable, and you know, it doesn't have maybe the micro diameter offering of, you know, that performance, but it does what you're going to need it to do. Is kind of a meat and potatoes arrow. And that's available in the three different grades. You can buy it in the Bow Hunter, the Classic, or the Match Grade version of that. All three of those are a good value. But the Bow Hunter is, you know, that's where I feel like that's the starting place. That's why we call it the Bow Hunter, right? It just gets out there and gets the job done. And then you can go up from there with specializing or tailoring your equipment based on what you're trying to do. But if you just need an arrow that's going to perform for you and you don't want to break the bank, that 6.5 line is awesome. It's a great value.
Yeah. I, you know, we were talking about earlier before we started recording, but like to me, the whiteout is just lights out, you know, and we've talked about this for years. I mean, every time I talk to you, we talk about the whiteout, but the whiteout, for those who haven't seen it, is just amazing. Like, it just has everything, in my opinion, I want an arrow. You know, you got the 6.5, it's a great arrow, obviously, but this one has the wrap that is all white. And so, like, mm-hmm. My point is, when you're hunting and you miss or you go through the deer, whatever it is, it's a lot easier to find this, recover this arrow. And I've done it. I shot a turkey, went right through it. That white arrow laid on the ground perfectly for me. I was like, oh my God, it's right there, you know? Whereas normally it's going to bury or whatever. It's hard to see, but this white, it's just complete contrast against the ground, you know? So to me.
And that's built off the 6.5 platform. So, as an extension of that 6.5 line. So it's a good value, but you also get the benefit of that visibility that you're talking about. So it is part of that 6.5 line. And we sell a lot of those every year. It's guys that want to see their shot or find their arrow. It's a good one.
Yeah, it's really cool. I think Gary, we should do a bright pink one and a bright purple one. Just a couple ideas there.
There's always a suggestion out there for people. Yeah, we get that. I think you could make as many arrows as there are archers.
Oh, I'm sure.
Everybody has their own, you know, personal preference. But
I was thinking at McDonald's, they had that purple shake. I forgot the name. It was the monster or some sort of monster.
Right, exactly.
And I was thinking, like, that looks so sweet. That wasn't that purple. Like, it just like goo look or something cool.
Yeah, we've done it. We've done a lot of special editions over the year. We've versioned out that from Jay and done others, but. It's kind of fun when we have the opportunity to make a specialty arrow at a color or something, but it does, like that whiteout, it does have some utility in that, like you said, it's easy to find, it's easy to see it flying through the air.
So that's what I was thinking in my mind, like, okay, so the white obviously is easy to see. And then I'm thinking in my head, like, what other colors would be easy to see against that backdrop? And I was thinking pink, I was thinking a bright purple, sure. I was thinking orange. You have the orange one, you know, that orange. You already have that in FNJ.
Yeah, so, kind of follows golf balls if you think about it. You know, golf balls are white, and then they did the different colors. You know, they did like fluorescent green, fluorescent pink, and orange. It's funny that they kind of swing back to the white. I think really it's probably the easiest color to find.
Yeah, it's really cool. So what else is new at Easton? What are you guys working on? Is there anything
excited? We'll have to do another podcast here in a few months because we've got a really exciting introduction, just getting everything finalized, sizes, components, all that stuff. But we've got two strong introductions for the hunting line that we're anticipating. So it'll be a good year for the bow hunter as we get these rollouts done. But we're in the final stages right now of making sure everything's working. And that if all goes well, we'll have a couple new hunting models that are really exciting. Probably as good as anything I've seen in 10 or 20 years. So,
wow.
Really cool. Yeah. Yeah, some stuff that'll give bow hunters just some more options, and they're going to be in a really, I think, a price point too that.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
It won't break the bank, let me put it that way, but some good high performance products at a good value too.
The most advanced range finding bow sight is now even better. Introducing the Oracle 2 from Burris. Based on customer feedback, we improved the pin brightness control, refined the LRF adjustment system, and brightened the aiming ring. There's still no glass to scratch, fog, glare, or break, and the fail-safe 20-yard pin has your back no matter what. At the push of a button, you instantly get the yardage to target. Extend your ethical distance with the Oracle 2 from Burris. Burris.
But Easton match-grade shafts undergo a far more meticulous straightness check, with razor tolerance at both ends, the center, and the critical quarter locations. Discover the ultimate in precision and made in USA quality. Visit your authorized Easton dealer and pick up your Easton Match Grade Pro Shop Series arrows today.
Established in a small town in Kentucky in 1981, a company that produces quality products that archers have come to rely on. I started shooting with a Scott release and have passed the tradition on. As I've aged, the company I started with continues to innovate and produce the premium products it always has. My dad always told me, never forget where you came from. Well, I haven't. Shoot with confidence. Shoot a Scott.
For more than 20 years, Trophy Ridge has developed tools that bow hunters trust and continue to lead the way in bow hunting innovation. Our field-proven products dish out dirt naps all over the world. We've manufactured and sold millions of products along the way, each one strategically designed to give you a distinct advantage in the field. From the backyard and competitive courses to the backcountry and Midwest cornfields, our products remain lethal, accurate, and continue to help you react to the situation at hand. Trophy Ridge accessories give you confidence, regardless of the situation. Our sights, rest, stabilizers, quivers, and releases set you up to be successful season after season. There are plenty of factors to think about on the hunt. Your gear shouldn't be one of them. We're Trophy Ridge, and we build the tools that bow hunters trust.
We are outdoors people, boating, fishing, hunting, and we are coffee lovers. My husband and I, we met at a coffee shop about 20 years back. So we've grown to love different blends, different beans, and different types of coffee. And throughout our time together, we decided that we wanted to create something for ourselves. So that's where this all came into play. And it's not just an outdoorsman, it's women, men, children. It's the community that come in here and they like it. They sit down at our cafe. They might have a venison hot dog, a cold brew coffee, and they enjoy their time here.
Like, so I was going to say, like, just FYI, in case you guys are looking for bow cases, you know, they got some sweet bow cases, some really nice, nice product.
Yeah, we have a great product manager over that category, and I feel like it's some of the best kept secrets in archery, our bow cases are. We have, I don't know which one you have. Did we send you a bow truck or was it one of the others? Or
I think it's like a workhorse. I was just looking here.
Oh, yeah. The workhorse is an awesome bow case. It's
beautiful.
Great for, you know, great for to and from the range, just to kind of keep your bow at, around town. Our travel cases, I don't know if you've had a chance to use the bow truck, but anybody that travels with a bow and they have not tried it or even looked at it, that's why I said it's one of the best kept secrets in archery. There's some great, we utilize the product manager. He goes out and he finds amazing materials that are super durable. They're highly protective. I mean, he's really meticulous. In fact, you know, we source the best materials and, you know, you look at it and, you know, you get knocked off by other companies. They go out and they source cheap materials. So then your bow cases aren't lasting. They don't protect as well. Our product manager here, he finds the best stuff. And so, you know, if it's a travel case or just a regular bow case, they're going to last you longer and they're going to protect. And so, yeah, it's just, you know, it's something that I think often gets overlooked from Easton.
Yeah. And the tools, you guys got a ton of tools that are great, you know, additions to your bow stuff and all of the new, accessories with the, components. So you guys have a ton of component options nowadays, which is really exciting and very good quality stuff. Field points and all that stuff is.
Yeah. The field points, the half outs, it's almost hard for me to keep track of it anymore. Like I said, we've got a very enthusiastic product development team and now as last year we introduced all those awesome half outs, they've kind of swung back their attention back toward the arrows. So, they're just keeping us, a marketing team.
Keeping
we have a lot of messages. Yeah. A lot of messages to get out there and, you know, I'm here late every night because it's just like, how do we get the word out? You know, and that it's exciting because I mean, we are trying to, sell, you know, we're all trying to make a living. Everybody does. But what's really cool about it is that we have genuinely awesome products that, we want the market to know about. And, it'll make, it's like I always say, the reason we come to work here at Easton isn't really to make and sell widgets. It's to create those heart-pounding moments in the tree stand or on the Olympic podium. And the product and the benefit is just a side benefit. It's why we come to work every day, but we're passionate bow hunters too, or we're passionate archers as well. We want to have those heart pounding moments, and we want everybody to have a good experience doing it. So, we can't afford to have products that don't work or fail, because that doesn't complete the circle. You're out there, and I still, like, to this day, I get out there and I'm in the tree stand and I have a tag in my pocket, and it could be a doe, and I've shot I don't know how many animals with a bow, and then I have this moment in my up there where I realize I tell myself you're about to get a shot, and then my heart starts to pound. It doesn't matter what's under me. It could be a hog, a doe, or whatever, and it's just like, I'm about to get a shot. This is so cool. And having done a lot of different kinds of hunting and whatnot, there's something about the archery experience that triggers that. I've killed a lot of animals with guns, but you don't have that heart pound, because there's just something about being so close to the game where you're like, is he going to bust me? Am I going to get this? Am I really going to get the shot? That's so cool. So that's why we do what we do. And I just feel like I want to jump through the wall sometimes and let everybody know, hey, this is so cool. This is going to make those moments possible for you.
Yeah. There's nothing better than when you're doing archery and everything comes together. I mean, that's as soon as you think I'm going to get that shot. But then when you draw that bow and that thing's not looking at you or didn't look at you, and you're all of a sudden you're settling in, you're like, oh my God, like it all came together. Now it's on me to do this right and complete it.
And that's why when guys film their hunt too, and they go through that process that you're talking about, and then they kind of have this, they almost faint. Like, it's almost like all that adrenaline, you made a great shot. And then all of a sudden it all kind of leaves your body, and you're almost like weak in the knees for a minute because you were so pumped up 5 seconds ago, and now all of a sudden it's over, and you're like, you see blood flying out or whatever, and you're just like, ah, oh, I did it, and it's like then all of a sudden everything drops out of you, and you got to almost sit down for a second to recover. It's the best. I love it.
It is. I'll never forget, a couple of years ago, I think it was COVID year, I had this, it's a weird situation, but basically a deer walked by me in the morning, a nice buck walked by me too far away, but it went into this weird area, and I was in the wrong stand. Basically, there's two stands on an L, and I was in the wrong stand. He walked right by the other stand that I wasn't in. I was like, dang. So then I, for the night hunt, I moved to that other stand, but then something different happened. Jamie, one of the guys we hunt with, walked kind of down the path on my left side, and then he was going to hook in to go to his spot, which was like far away from there, but he had to go in that way. It's hard to explain, but he had no choice. So as he walked that way, I'm literally setting up, or sitting down, and I turn, that buck's coming right at me. Like, I'm like, no way. And he basically scared it back to me because he didn't know it was somewhere between us, and it started coming right back where it started in the morning. And I literally just got my bow. I was about to hang it on the tree. I just turned on my GoPro, and it started walking behind me. So I hurried up and drew. And, it's one of those things where I picked the spot. I ranged a spot, and he was going at an angle, and I ranged it and I picked it. And as soon as he hit that spot, I let it fly, and I double lunged him, which I didn't know at the time. He ran away. I'm like, oh man, I hope. It was like 33 yards or something. So I got down, I heard some noises, and I got down by an hour later, and I went and looked, and he was literally like 40 yards from that spot dead. And I was like, no way. And that was the moment where I like really sunk in that it came together. Right. Cause it worked. Cause at first I was like, I mean, the shot was great. It just, you always get nervous. Like, did it deflect weird? Did something happen?
Right.
Did I really hit where I thought I hit? I can't review it because it's on a GoPro, Did I really hit where I thought I hit it, right behind that shoulder? And, but I mean, in the funny part is with that, the other memory I remember with it is getting the deer, super excited. It's 5:30. I got a deer on the ground, right? It doesn't get dark till 7. So I pull this deer out, and I'm like, I'm going to start gutting it. And I cut my finger open. I'll never forget it because there's blood rushing inside my glove. And I was like, no, So then I'm like holding my hand up like this. Don't know if I need stitches or how bad it is, you know. But I'm thinking it's probably pretty bad. I mean, these knives are like ridiculously sharp, you know, these hunting knives we get. And I was fine, whatever. I still have a scar from it, actually. It's funny. But it was great. But like you said, you know, when it all comes together, it's so magical in bow hunting. I feel like it's so much different than gun or anything else I've experienced. And one of the reasons I think we started Bow on a Plan is just because there's something about that feeling. And I feel like all of us in the industry share it. And that's why we're here, of course, some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, those that haven't experienced it yet, you know, that love hunting or love the outdoors, we kind of go through stages as hunters and first, like maybe when you're younger, it's just what matters most is filling the tag, right? I just want to bring something home. And then you kind of progress. And I think if you are fortunate enough to progress into the world of archery, then you find that there's a new experience that you didn't really anticipate or really fully understand until you actually had it happen. But one thing that I enjoyed these days is taking out new archers. And, you know, I've been taking out some of the folks here. We have a lot of people that work here in the factory. And not all of them have had the chance to bow hunt. So last few years, I've been taking them on a hog hunt, you know, four or five people from the factory here. And some of them have hunting experience. Some of them, it's their first hunting experience. But what I found is it's really fun to experience it again through their eyes of a new hunter. Because then once you've had a lot of experience hunting, it comes a little bit more like, the newness is gone and it's just kind of more routine. But then when you take somebody brand new and you're like, then you see their excitement and you're like, oh yeah, I remember what that was like. You know, when I was first, you know, my first bow hunt and then they kill an animal and they're so excited and you get to live it again, you know, your first hunts again. And that's really cool. Whether it's a kid or just even a new hunter, I love doing that.
But that works best in my opinion with, probably works really good with elk because I haven't elk hunted, but I heard, you know, the bugling, but with turkey, it's so funny to see someone's face when that turkey starts to light up and I'm like, oh man, here we go. Are you ready? You know, and then everybody gets excited. It's so, turkey's the easiest too, you know, cause you can make some noise, you can talk a little bit. Whereas deer, it's like a ghost, right? Like all of a sudden,
right,
there it is. Don't move, you know?
And that's why you have to do it all. Cause every experience is a different kind of rush, you know, whether it's the turkey calling or the elk or just, you know, the outsmarting of a really, you know, a really old whitetail. But, you know, another thing you brought up that I've started to do is film my hunts. And one, it's nice. You can kind of go back to it and experience it again, but more than anything, I use it for shot placement. I've noticed and I've, you know, it's like you kind of wonder, okay, where did I hit him? You know? And if you have that on, like, I just keep it on the edge of the tree stand now. And if I see a game coming, I just reach over and hit the button, you know, and then settle in. But it's really helped me to go back, look at that video and say, okay, that's where I hit him. I thought I hit him here, or it is where I thought I hit, or, oh, that's a little bit different than what I thought I saw. But I've utilized that as a way to help me in my tracking, help me in my game recovery, is to, you know, look at where I hit and then decide, okay, am I going to wait a little longer? Am I going to wait overnight? What do I need to do in this situation based on where I hit him? And that's something that I've kind of been doing. That's a little bit new to me. I've been doing it the last, you know, 6 or 7 years, but I found it to be pretty useful.
Yeah. Filming has been a great thing. And I think it's just, you know, all I would say to people is just do a little research on what cameras to use, how to do it. It gets a little bit, you know, because depending on what you want to do, if you want to zoom in, if you don't, if you just want to capture the moment. Lately, I've just been capturing the moment. I really just use my phone or a GoPro just to get the whole scene, you know. Otherwise, it's like a little trickier because then you got to zoom in and you don't want to make a noise or, you can go through some really interesting scenarios filming and especially depending on what, you know, it changes what bow sight you're using. You know, one time I was using like an optimizer from HHA and, you know, I put the camera on, the deer's at 30 yards. I put the camera on. I'm looking at the camera, look back, go to shoot, and I hit the deer low because it moved three more yards out because I wasn't looking at the time. And then, that, you know, you have one pin, so you can't.
Right.
You don't, if you don't recheck, right. You know, so it's like, how many times can you check? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and I looked at it too, and you go frame by frame later on, even, you know, after you recover the game. And then you're like, wow, that really, that jumped the string a lot more than I realized, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or, you know, things like that. It's a good learning tool. You know, sometimes, like you said, you're focused and maybe you don't get it on camera because it was over here and you thought it was going to be over there or whatever. But I just flip it on and, you know, and I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot about how game react to the shot, about shot placement. It's been interesting. But, you know, with the technologies that they've changed with phones, with cameras, you know, when I started hunting, that just wasn't available. But now you know, you got everything in a compact size. It's easy to use. So it's kind of opened up a new world for me.
It's awesome. Well, Gary, thanks for being on. Appreciate it. We'll get back with you in about a month or two here and talk about 2020.
Yeah, that'll be great. We'll have a lot more to talk about too when that stuff rolls out, for sure.
All right. Thanks, guys. Get to your store. Check out Easton online. Get some arrows. Get yourself a great set and get rolling. Try those whiteouts. I'm telling you guys, they look sick. Look really nice, actually. So thanks, Gary. We'll see you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into the show today. We hope you had a good time. Please make sure you hit that subscribe button and like button where you can. You can find us all over every platform. And don't forget to join our membership programs. Have a lot of fun with the community here and have a chance to win some really cool products. We'll see you soon.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters' 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.